Welcome back to Homegrown. This is Bob Hill, and as promised, I am in the Brownsboro Park area of Louisville on Sweetbriar Lane, speaking with 93-year-old Marie Cassidy, who is just in from her hula lesson, and she drove her own car back and forth. Is hula part of the requirements for being a good gardener?
Certainly.
Let's talk about the hula thing. Do you teach or do you actually hula?
Teach.
How do you teach hula?
Oh, it's easy. I start with the steps and then I tell them. The words in hula tell the story. And you make the sound, say a moon, you do put a moon in the sky. Waves of the sea, you do the waves of the sea. Because their whole idea is to tell the story with the hands. The story of the song.
And gardening's a lot to do with the hands too also, but not only do the hula, you also do international dancing. Let's talk about that a little bit. We'll get into gardening in a little bit, folks, but this is kind of fascinating to me, too.
Well, I do international folk dancing. I have done contra dancing, square dancing, all types of dancing that you don't need a partner for. That makes a difference. And international folk dancing tells the story of the people. The dances come from 50 years back or something like that, if you're getting dances from Romania and Yugoslavia. And so they really have a history, and they're very beautiful. And when you get to dances from away from Germany and America, England and Germany and France, you get into rhythms that are in different time signatures.
And this keeps you limber for gardening, right?
Yes.
Now, we're sitting here in the shade, I have to mention this, of a wonderful weeping crabapple tree. It's probably 20 feet tall, 25 feet across. Off to my right is just a huge mound of Japanese maple tree. It's probably 15, 18 feet across and maybe 8 feet tall. Behind me is another Japanese maple at the corner of her house, about the same size. There's a wonderful white-bark birch tree defining the corner of the property. On my left is a little bitty Harry Lauder walking stick. She's an optimist. She planted this just recently, hoping to make 100 about the same time the tree gets big enough to do some good. Let's talk about your gardening. When did this begin?
I've always loved gardening. I used to go on the hiking club that went to the, especially wildflowers. We'd go out to farms or the woods and see the wildflowers. And I was a Girl Scout, and I knew all the flowers and the trees, and so it's just continuing.
And you've been in this house about 30-some years. Now, when you bought this place, what was here then, and what did you have in mind when you started?
There were silver maple trees, weed maple trees, and one tree, red maple over here, that the tornado of 74 twisted the tree out of the ground. It looked like a corkscrew at the bottom, fell between us. A woman was killed down the street with a sliver of wood going through her. So we're very, very close. But anyway, that got rid of the old trees.
All right, now let's talk underneath this crabapple tree. And first tell us what it is, and then just talk about what you see here in front of you. There's this patch of maybe 30 by 30 feet, a lot of ferns, some arums, some hellebores, a lot of columbines, the old purple ones that reseed all over the place. When did you do this, and why did you pick this particular spot?
Because it was good and shady. It was a perfect spot for it. And I'd had the ferns, some of them planted in the backyard, and I transplanted them. Also the trillium and the Solomon seal, but I've added to it through the years.
Why do you do this?
It makes me feel good. That's a good reason, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, Marie, let's kind of go chronologically here, and with you, that's a long, long time. Did you ever start with vegetables and things like that before you kind of grew into ornamentals?
No, I've done both. I like the vegetables. I like the flowers best, really. And we had vegetables in the backyard, had a spot there. But after we got a 145-pound Newfoundland, nothing grew in the backyard. So that ended the vegetables.
That is a little counterproductive. How did you learn these things? Are you self-taught? Did you read books? Did you have a gardening guru of any kind, like Fred Wishy?
Oh, yes, I listened to Fred Wishy. I also took a wonderful course in Tallahassee at the Florida State University. a course on flowers, wildflowers. There were four lectures, and then we went out on field trips four times, once to Vincent Island, once to the bogs where we saw pitcher plants and such things growing. And it was a wonderful experience. I took pictures of all of them.
And then where do you find your plants? Catalogs? Do you shop stores or what?
There are a few places that sell wildflowers. I did get some in the beginning from my brother and his wife who lived in Spring Valley and subdivision. And there were many, many wildflowers growing there. So I got some of theirs.
And then you have about a half dozen different kinds of ferns here. Where did they come from?
My daughter in Florida sent me ferns. She sends me flowers for Christmas, too. She's a gardener. And I visited her about a month ago and weeded there for about a week. She's in a wheelchair, but she grows vegetables. We had Brussels sprouts out of her yard, lettuce, snow peas, and lots of beautiful tropical flowers.
But she makes you sing for your supper down there then, huh?
Yes. But it's good supper, shrimp. Very good.
Okay, let's walk around your yard a little bit. We'll get up out of the shade here and just kind of go around the house and talk to people about what you've got here and why you've got it and what you think about it. Okay, Marie, we're joined by a robin here in the backyard, which is just makes it all the better. You've just got this sweep of Lily of the Valley here. Must be hundreds of them in here. And then as a backdrop to that, you've got this bright red azalea that's probably three feet tall and 4 feet wide.
Yes, that's been in a long time. I also have sumac in here. And this other azalea is a deciduous azalea, Azalea molus, that is a very beautiful one. What, about 10 feet tall?
Oh, it's probably at least maybe 12 feet tall. It's a native azalea. As you're right, they're more elegant to me. I prefer those, actually, to the other azaleas that are more foundation plants. It's just this yellow, creamy white flower to it. And let's talk about the sumac a little bit, a plant I like and isn't used very much because they can get a little unruly. But this is a cut-leaf sumac, and the fall color in those is phenomenal, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We also have butterfly bushes in here. We get many, many butterflies, which I enjoy.
And then here to our left, a little clump of spiderwort, which is a plant we featured on a show, I think, last year. A plant that's, I think, not appreciated enough. What do you think about that?
I agree. And also Virginia bluebells in here. They've just finished blooming.
Well, that's a native with a really wonderful little blue flower. What's the story behind them? Did you find those in a particular place, the bluebells?
I bought some. But I'm sorry to say the rabbits like them too. But I've had these in here for a long time. I don't know where I got them.
Yeah, I noticed when I drove in here that the rabbits were darting out of the bushes and the chipmunks work here. And we're kind of going around the corner here. There's another huge pink azalea. It's a fluffy looking plant. And it's up against a red cut leaf filigree Japanese maple. It's a real nice combination. Which azalea is this?
This is a pink ruffle azalea. It's a double pink. And it's not supposed to do well here because it's really a more tropical plant, but it's done beautifully.
Do you treat the soil in any special way to get that kind of color from that azalea?
The oak leaves. Have a natural fertilizer, oak leaves,
okay,
that makes the soil acidic.
I didn't mention that. Towering over us must be 80 feet tall, and about that wide across is a huge oak tree that just kind of reaches out over the roof. And now you've also got here Leatris, or gay feather. That's here in the front. This in front looks like your daffodils, and they'll die back, and that'll pop up and take over.
And butterfly bushes, white and yellow, here.
Okay. And you have trained butterflies that come in the summer? And
oh, yes. Yes, beautiful. Swallowtails, monarchs.
Another thing I like you've got here, you've got some statues, some, I guess it looks like Buddha or Asian-related statues. Let's talk about these. What are these about?
This is an old Chinese man holding a dragon. That's all I know about him.
Why do you have that particular one here?
Well, my husband ended up Buddhist. And we got the Japanese before he turned Buddhist, but we just like those things. And he has a Buddha over here and some Chinese lantern on the other side of the yard.
Okay, and kind of in that vein, just dominating the front yard really is this Japanese maple I mentioned earlier. It's another cutleaf variety. It's just a solid green mound. It's one of the prettiest I've ever seen in anybody's yard here in Louisville. It's just really nice. How big was this when you planted it? Do you remember?
Oh, a foot or two.
Well, any special care for this?
No special care.
You got that green thumb working, that's all, huh? Now, my Japanese maples, I love the most about them, is the fall color is just simply phenomenal. Do you have the same effect here?
Yes. And the blood good is beautiful. It is very bright in the early spring, and then that darkens up during summer, but it's beautiful again in fall.
That's another Japanese maple I haven't mentioned yet. It's near the driveway. It's got that beautiful gray bark, kind of that architectural scaffolding effect as the trees kind of go up and out and sweep out. Again, it's about 20 feet tall and 20 feet across, so when you get to be 93, you get to enjoy some of the bigger things in life, it looks like.
That's true. We haven't had any trouble, except a limb off of the pine tree across the street fell into it and got some of the branches, but I think it's recovering well.
Okay, one more stop. On the back side of the house, I noticed when I came in, she's got some plants, some Missouri primrose and some salvia or sage you don't normally see blooming in this part of the world until mid to late summer, and it's blooming right now, and there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is?
I think it's because in the city, it is warmer because of all the streets. And here in this particular location, we have the sun on the driveway and on the stone makes it a warmer atmosphere for the plants.
That's exactly true. And a good idea to think about when you're planting your garden is if you want something literally a month or 6 weeks in advance, find a protected spot like this. A stone wall and black asphalt, and boy, you can have anything growing early that you could possibly imagine. It's so nice to see this. And Marie, you're 93, you got this wonderful yard. You got 10 or 15 groundskeepers besides yourself here, right?
No, I do it all myself. I do have a grass cutter, I'm glad to say, and he is very helpful. But I do all the weeding. Well, Ann and Harry came over 2 days and weeded, but it takes more than 2 days, you know.
That's your family. Ann and Harry Bickle are here to help you out a little bit. But let's go back to you again. I'm just so impressed by the fact you're so light. You're an inspiration to a lot of people. I'm 30 years younger than you, and I feel worn out some days. You just come in from hula lessons. You're out here gardening and weeding. How do you keep going like that?
I don't know. I enjoy it.
Do you ever think about, I'm 93, I'm out here gardening. You ever think about age at all?
Not often. I'm just thankful that I can do it.
We are too. Thank you very much for having us here.
Thank you for coming.
93-year-old Marie Cassidy takes care of maybe a half-acre lawn and a whole lot of plants and shrubs and trees in the Brownsboro Park area of Louisville. For more information on Marie or her garden, go to the Homegrown page at WFPL.org. Coming up next, listener questions and a new Latin word of the week. You're listening to Homegrown on 89.3 WFPL.